and corporations out there, just leave our lands and our resources, and we are going to take possession of them, because before and after all, they are ours. They're not yours. So just leave that, and that's number one. Number two, if you have military bases in any parts of our Islamic territories, close those military bases, pack up, and leave. That's for starters. From there on, when all of this is done, of course, they're not going to do this. Muslims, from experience, Muslims have had hundreds of years of experience with colonialism and its offshoot imperialism. So they know if we come and speak to them in this language, they're not going to do that. It's simple. This is part of history. It's part of human nature. Colonialists and occupation powers and forces, they don't pack up and leave by the local or indigenous population typing a statement and presenting it to them. Look, this is our country. Could you just leave us alone? We just want to be ourselves. We're not in your countries. We don't have our corporations and our military bases in your territories. So please let us, you know, live as equal and corresponding human beings in this one planet that we share. You can go to your lands and have as much military bases as you want, the corporations you want there. We don't want to interfere in your internal affairs, okay? Fair enough? And we expect from you the same thing. We have our own countries, we have our own peoples, we have our own resources, so we want to get our act together. That's all we're asking. We want to get our act together according to the program that we have. We are Muslim peoples. God has given us a scripture and a revelation that helps us organize our life. So we want to organize our life according to our scripture. And we don't expect anyone to interfere in this. This is our own internal affair. It's our house, and we want to rearrange our furniture. Please. That's all we want to do.
But this is backtracking, because somehow we see in Europe many people who are following Islam today, who are becoming Muslims, and they see this other version, which the version of the defense of your rights, of the justice, and they're going all the way to Syria, to Iraq, to other countries, and they think they're following this jihad, which they call as a jihad, and they think that they're following the right way of showing their independence, even the Europeans. And now what is being shown is that these people are returning to their European countries, and they're creating the turmoil, like what we saw happening in France, for example. And what we are seeing in many other European countries, protests which are developing more and more, with people who are taking a national fever to defend their identity. How do you explain that?
Well, that's part of the program. You see, first of all, anyone who has any knowledge about Islamic political and ideological developments in the past 40, 50, 60 years. Anyone who knows anything about that, and I'm sure there are committed Muslims who know this history very well because they're involved in it, but then there are their opposites. There are committed anti-Muslims who have their Zionist or their imperialist agendas who know this very well also. So these characters now that we're speaking about, belonging to ISIS and before that to Al-Qaeda, and after that, I don't know to whom, there's bound to be other developments and versions of this in the future. The world is not going to end with this. So these types right now who are being recruited, whether they're coming from Europe or other parts of the world, to, in particular, two areas, Syria and Iraq. These individuals, I don't doubt in my mind, knowing what I know, I don't doubt that some of them are just plain absent-minded of the facts. They just don't know what's happening. Some of them may be living in tough economic conditions. They come from broken families or from poor families or from neighborhoods that are similar to ghettos or to slums and these types of things. And in an act of desperation, they're desperate. The online thing right now is a big thing. They'll go online and they'll tune in to certain sites that will be speaking about jihad, and they'll be quoting some verses from the Quran and some hadiths from the Prophet and all of this. And these people who are here in front of the computer with their very superficial knowledge of Islam, with the harsh economic conditions that they are living in, tuning into this type of thing, they believe in themselves, this is the future. This is the way out. This is independence and this is self-determination, but it is not. They are led to believe that it is. So it's a
program. But who is leading them? Who's the leader of this?
It could be any assortment of intelligence agencies and governments in the world that want to abort Islamic self-determination. And there's plenty of them out there. They could come together. They can set up elaborate programs. They may even have some Muslims in their ranks, you know, telling them, feeding them certain information. And this collaborative effort is presented to some very elementary Muslims who are in their youth and they want to do something. So in other words, they are being recruited to fight Islam, meaning the disciplined, the measured, the peaceful, but in the same breath, the assertive Muslims. They are to be fought with this new type of Islam that is trying to steal the thunder on one hand. On the other hand, it's trying to be holier than thou. And so they give this imagery to the whole people that we are the Muslims of the future, not knowing that by doing and saying what they are doing and saying, they become the fuel of the Zionists and the imperialists that baited them into doing and behaving the way they are.
So will they be contained? Is it possible to stop them?
I think so. I'm a very optimistic person. I don't think this is evil, and I don't think evil can survive. And some of them may be sincere. They may be extremely sincere. I don't doubt that neither. But what they are not is they are not intelligent. They can't see the overall picture, and they can't see the master plan. So they are drawn into this, just like we had Al-Qaeda. If we can go back with our memories, 13, 14 years, it was this Qaeda thing coming out like this, and people got caught up in that. But it ran out of steam. It ran out of gas.
It ran out of funds.
Not only did it not have any more funds, it had enough self-contradictions to undo itself. That's why right now in this new version of Al-Qaeda, which is ISIS, this new version of it, you see some of its own recruits, some of its own personnel turning with their firearms against their equivalents, because this is metamorphosized into factions. There are scores of factions that have Islamic labels and have the same jargon and the same rhetoric that are right now fighting against each other. It's self-destructive. And it will obviously come to an end because it has no popular basis. It has no people's support. And if there's no massive support for a phenomenon like this, it is going to, just like Al-Qaeda before it, it's going to run out of gas. And it will come to a screeching end, just like Al-Qaeda did. But between now and then, horrible things will happen. Terrifying events will develop simply because these types, they have states behind, not knowing, these types don't know that they have states behind them that are supporting them financially, with logistics, with weapons, with barking against them. When a supportive state is publicly condemning you, it is trying to feed you the support that you need from the people that resent the past experiences with colonialism, with occupation, with invasion, with all the horrors that go in the past, I don't know, 50, 100 years since World War I, etc. So there's a lot of support that is coming their way, these types, these ISIS types. Even the support that comes to them is coming to them directly and indirectly. It is coming to them by praising them and by condemning them. They're getting all of this support, but still, because Islam, and this is one of the beauties of Islam, Islam, in the final analysis, will win over. I think the people's hearts are not in this. And I think, because right now the world's also shrinking. We have the internet, we have satellite TV, we have so many things that are making people much more aware of these events at a much more accelerated pace. So this will tell me that the lifespan of this phenomenon is not going to be very long. I'm not worried about this phenomenon. I'm worried about the pattern. I'm worried that once this becomes a spent force, it will not become possible for it to regenerate in another image. That's what concerns me. And I think it becomes the responsibility of enlightened ulama, of scholars who can understand the meanings of the Quran and the teachings of the Prophet, can understand them in context and with relevance. Unfortunately, there's not many of them around, but they will increase. Just like the bad guys are going to decrease, the good ones are going to increase.
Well, on this, trying to stay positive, on this positive note that you gave as a conclusion, we thank you very much, Dr. Alassi, for this presence at Press TV and our face-to-face. Thank you very much.
Thank you for the opportunity.